Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. This is Shannon Abram with Community Roundtable, and I am lucky enough to be here today with Marjorie Anderson. Marjorie, we'd love if you could take a minute, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about where you work and the kind of community that you work with.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Shannon. Again, my name is Marjorie Anderson, and I work for a membership association called Project Management Institute. And I'm one of four community engagement specialists that helps to manage the community on projectmanagement.com. And we are a, the company is a membership association, but our community is geared toward the project management profession.
So, Marjorie, you said you work at a membership association. How do you find ways to engage internal stakeholders, including people like volunteers, to be more engaged in community?
Oh, that is a great question, because we all know that any time that you ask someone to, you know, do something extra and they've already got a full plate, it's, you know, they immediately think, oh my gosh, more work. So the first thing that we try to do is, if we are looking to get volunteers or internal staff to engage, is we try to connect, you know, their business goals with ways that the community can help. So one of the ways that we did that in the past was, it was maybe 6 months after we launched the current iteration of what our community model looks like, someone from our standards team contacted us, and they asked if we were able to assist them with finding subject matter experts to help write a new standard that they were developing. Now, generally what happens when they're looking to do something like this is they post an opportunity in our volunteer relationship management system, or VRMS, which is pretty much like a job board for volunteer opportunities for the organization. And it usually yields 25 to 30 respondents. And the challenge with that is that it's the same people who are applying for the opportunity over and over again. Just because they have a passion for volunteering, you know, they're not necessarily subject matter experts, but they want to help. So we said that we most certainly could help, and the way that we framed it was that if they could provide us a piece of content, which is why our members come to the community, is for content and, you know, for knowledge and networking. So they could provide us a piece of content that outlined why developing this new standard was important and what they were looking to get from participation, with a link to the posting in the VRMS, we would post it within the community. So the community's getting content, and then they're reaching out to people that they may not have gotten to reach out to before. And they were expecting to receive 50 to 60 respondents to this opportunity, and what ended up happening was that they received approximately 125 respondents. So it was an overwhelming response, because they were able to reach a segment of members that they had not had the opportunity to reach before, and subject matter experts who had some knowledge in what they were looking for them to do. So, you know, it was a really eye-opening situation, to where they were able to see, oh, you know, community is not this separate thing. It's really a great way for us to tie activities into achieving our goals. You know, it's going to be a way that we do business, not this separate thing where people go and, you know, participate in discussion threads and do webinars. It really does tie into the way we do business here.
I think that's so great that, so I think that's the biggest challenge that everyone has. So there's some people that are 100% bought into community right away, and they're like, I love it. I'm going to work out loud. I'm going to do my work here. I'm going to share. But there's so many people that see community as an other channel, or an additional, like, oh, I have to go there and do this, or I have to go there and check this. And so that you could have an aha moment where it's like, no, this is all one thing, and it's symbiotic, and what you get into, what you put into it, you get out of it. I think that's such a cool lesson to learn alongside, you know, the people you're mentoring. I think that's really great.
Yeah, absolutely. And we still have some work to do, but, you know, there are people who are starting to see the value in community, and that, you know, it does tie into overall business goals, and there's a way for you to achieve what you're trying to achieve through the community while also bringing value to the members there.
That's such a great, I think it's such a great example, just because so many people struggle with it and feel like they're never going to get there. But it is nice to hear that. And this sounds like it was a really organic moment where it just, you know, you weren't necessarily expecting this program to make that happen, but it happened. And I think that's so great.
Absolutely.
So I have heard, a little birdie told me, that you've done some interesting work with your chapter development team to utilize your global community to help reach out to members on a local level. That sounds like so much work. Can you talk about how you've achieved that goal?
Absolutely. So one of the things that our chapters are experiencing is, and I love the way that my manager puts it, she, you know, when we were transitioning community models, you know, she said we did such a great job at trying to make sure that our chapters, make it feel like our chapters didn't have to worry about their place in providing value to our members, that we didn't think that they would think that it was competition. So what's happening at this point is, you know, our chapters are looking at community and saying, you know, if members can go to the community and get the things that they need without coming to a chapter meeting, you know, then that almost devalues our chapters. It's almost direct competition, when in fact it's not. So one of the things that we do is we're currently able to pull, as part of our community health index measurements, we're able to pull how many chapter members have joined the global community, and then we can do a breakdown. So not only can we do a total of the chapter members that have joined the community, we can break it down by chapter, and then we can even go a little further and break it down by practice area. And what practice areas are, they're spaces within the community that have curated content based on a practitioner's interest. So it could be business analysis, it could be agile, it could be change management. But if you go to those practice areas, you're going to find curated content there. And what we're able to do is we're able to pull down information based on chapter, and then go deeper into those practice areas and see what those chapter members are consuming, where they're subscribing on the site. And then we can take that information and say, you know, the Washington, D.C. chapter has 257 members who are subscribed to the IT strategy practice area within the community. This provides the chapters a unique opportunity to take that information and augment their programming so that they're reaching out to those members. They're not guessing. They're able to find out exactly what they're looking for and the things that matter to them, and augment their programming so that they're talking about those topics that matter to their members. We just had them in for a, they usually come in, we have a global chapter team, and they were in for a mid-year meeting last year, and we actually walked them through a presentation and then an exercise that got them to think a little bit differently about how to use projectmanagement.com, our community, to resource information and content to supplement their programming. So it's not seen as competition. It's actually a resource there for you to be able to provide additional value to your members at the local level.
Keep talking about global and local and global and local. Are you talking truly like people all over the country speaking, or all over the world speaking different languages? Because that seems like a fascinating challenge to be dealing with.
It's absolutely people all over the world. We're a global membership organization, which means that we have chapters and members from anywhere from Dubai to Latin America to, you know, Nebraska to China. We have members and stakeholders all over the world, and local chapters in just as many places. So we have a little over 280 local chapters. So, you know, it's definitely a benefit for them to be able to see that there's value in going to the community where people are coming together globally to talk to each other and then extracting what's important to their members from there and then disseminating it locally.
Oh my goodness. This is going to have to be a whole nother podcast because we love talking. You're laughing. I mean, so many of the brands we work with are international or global brands, and we just hear over and over again that they look at engagement like country by country and see like, oh, like, you know, France is great at this and X country is terrible. And like, why is that? And so I would not now, but I would love, we do not have time today, but I would love to talk more at some point about how you guys approach the challenges of supporting a global community of people, because I mean, there are language issues there, and there's so many things that go into it. And it seems like you have a really fascinating use case. So stay tuned. Listeners, we will talk about that in the future. So my favorite question that we ask everyone is, what is your community superpower?
So That is a good one. And I thought, you know, sometimes I think about that a little bit. I don't know if you can say that empathy is a superpower.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yes.
So I think that empathy is my superpower. I'm big on observations and watch a lot of what goes on in the community as well as with the people that I work with within the organization. So I try to put myself in their shoes so that I can figure out how to best help them, especially when it comes to staff and internal stakeholders. So I'm always intrigued by what would motivate someone to join the community or not join the community or stay or why they wouldn't come back, whether it's just for content or because they're looking to get something else out of it. So I think that once you put yourself in someone else's seat and determine what they find important, then it makes it so much easier for you to be able to not only communicate the value of the community to them, but then be able to help them troubleshoot and figure out ways that they can utilize it.
I think that's a great superpower. I think it's fantastic. You can be the amazing empathizer.
Yeah, thanks. I figured that would probably be the most appropriate, especially when you're dealing with so many people who are looking to get involved that are not quite sure what community means, especially from an internal stakeholder perspective, they're not quite sure if they have a place or what that place is. What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to post, or can I put some marketing stuff there? You know, it's a little bit more digging that you have to do. What are you trying to accomplish, and then how can we help make that happen while also providing value to our community members?
No, and I think we joke all the time that even though, you know, quote unquote, community management happens behind a computer screen and you can be remote and all those things, if you don't really love people, it's a really hard job to do. And if you don't want to help people, it's a really, I don't know that you're going to be a successful community manager if you're like, people are the worst. Like, and so, you know, thoughtfully approaching it from a, you know, I am enabling people and how can I help them help themselves and how can I accomplish the things I need to accomplish, I think is a great way to just start the job from the right frame of mind. So I think you're lucky to have that superpower. That's awesome.
Oh, okay.
Final bonus question. It was just the first day of summer a few days ago. And I was going to say here in Boston, but it's actually true all over the world. It was the summer solstice everywhere. Do you have any fun plans for your summer vacation?
I've been thinking about it. I think that I might try to take in, I live probably 20 minutes down the street from a winery, and they have activities all throughout the summer. So I might try to take in some of the things that are going on down there. I very rarely make it there, even though they're literally 20 minutes down the street from me. But I think I might want to try to do that, or just spend a weekend at the beach. It's been a while since I've done that. So.
Those both sound like wonderful summer vacation plans.
Hopefully I can make that happen.
I think, you know what? I feel like in my experience, if you write something on a post-it note and stick it somewhere, I'm going to say 200% more likely to make that thing happen. So I think maybe try that.
I will give that a try.
That's a very scientific number I just came up with. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. It sounds like you are very, very busy, and so I really appreciate you stopping by and chatting with us. We loved having you, and we will definitely have you back in the future because I have a lot more questions to ask you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers from the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.